Today is Mission Sunday, and I just want to throw something out at you real quickly, and that is, every time you leave your house, you are on a missions trip. You get that? Yeah. Every time you leave your house, you're on a missions trip. At the Walmart, at the grocery store, driving your car, you have to be thinking outside of yourself to see what God wants you to do. And that's what happened this week. I went on a trip with my sisters, and I thought I was on a vacation. Well, not vacation, because it wasn't an official vacation, but I was gone for a couple of days. But God's never gone a couple of days. And He's going to use you wherever you go, and He did that with me. And I got some wonderful revelation and insights and such. And one of the things that He did for me was He gave me a couple of songs. And these two songs, he said, just use those two songs. It'll be a great message. And it's called, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. That song, I just love that song. I've been singing, Great is Thy Faithfulness. Great is Thy Faithfulness. Morning by morning, new mercies I see. I love that song. It's just new mercies I see every morning. His mercies are new every morning. Not yesterday's mercies. Today has its own set of mercy. And I needed it. I needed it. I don't know if you need His mercy. I sure do. So the two songs was Great is Thy Faithfulness and On Calvary. Now that one is changing my life as I am even reading it. It says, mercy there was great, and grace was free. Pardon there was multiplied to me. There my burden so found liberty on Calvary, at Calvary. I couldn't be standing here if I didn't go to Calvary, if I didn't repent, if I didn't confess, if I didn't accept Jesus as my Lord and Savior, if I didn't believe God. You know, we were talking in church today in our study, and something at the very beginning, we were talking about he is a he and a she is a she, okay? Well, I know somebody that would say, I would say amen, and she'd go, no, a woman. And it's somebody who's professed to be a Christian. So there's something wrong with that thinking, don't you think? So there's a lot of mixture going on as to men, men and women. Just keep that in mind, just a little extra. But mercy was great and grace was free. Doesn't cost me anything to go to God. Even in the study today, we talked about, yeah, sometimes we get into a big mess, but that mess, we got to be specific with our mess. Okay, what's the mess you're talking about? It's like when you have a little kid and they come up to you and they do something and they go, okay, what did you do? I don't know. You want them to tell you what they did, and I believe God is the same way. He wants us to know what is in our heart. He already knows it, but He wants you to know that you know it. Because that's what we need, our mercy and grace. And it's, why do we need mercy and grace? I put that question down, and it says, for our heavy burdens. We need something to help us carry some of these things, and some of these things we shouldn't be carrying at all. So I look at what is a burden. In this context, it says you aren't burdened when you do something right. You know that it's easier to walk in truth than it is to walk in a lie? Because you got to remember, okay, who did I tell that to? What did I say there? How am I going to add? What am I going to do? But when you're walking in truth, you don't have to figure none of that out. I remember when the seatbelt law came into effect. I was very angry at the seatbelt law. I have to tell you, I'm repenting, I'm telling you the truth. And for years and years, I would just not put it on. And boy, was I feeling heavy. I was feeling burned. I was looking around over my shoulder to see if there's a cop driving next to me because he can give me a ticket because I had three already. I got three tickets and I just didn't care. I'm not going to wear my seatbelt. Well, the minute I put that thing on, the peace came. I wasn't burdened anymore. See, when we walk in truth, we're not burdened. Now, there's other burdens in the Bible, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm not talking about that kind of burden. There's all kinds of stuff out there. It's something that you're carrying that's too heavy for you, and you know it, When you go, Lord, it's just too much, I'm overwhelmed. You know what that means when you're overwhelmed? It means that you have not allowed God to do what he needs to do, and you're doing it yourself. We should never feel overwhelmed. Do you know that we should never do this? Should never feel frustrated. Okay, don't raise your hand, but I'm sure a few of us in here feel frustrated from time to time. It means we're doing what God only can do. When you feel frustrated, look at that as a red light that says, I need to trust God right now in this situation. I'm so frustrated. You're telling on yourself. Don't tell anybody you're frustrated ever again. You go to the Lord with your frustration. Because it says in here, Psalm 38:4, and I'm not just saying it out of experience. I'm saying it because the scripture says in Psalm 38:4, I opened up my Bible and I'm reading it right out of the Word of God. Psalm 38:4, it says, for my iniquities, my sins, are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They are too heavy for me. If you ever feel heavy, why don't you go to God and say, Lord, what am I carrying that is not of you? Am I carrying guilt and shame? Am I carrying worry? Am I carrying something that I can't do anything about? How many of us wake up in the middle of the night because we can't sleep? You're carrying a burden that is not yours. A couple of weeks ago, we talked in Bible study about man's law and God's law. Man's law is different than God's law. Do you agree? So I'm going to give you some man's law stuff here to see if it goes with God's law, right? Smoking is legal. Do you think that's something you would want to do? I don't know, just throwing it out there. Drinking is legal. But what does God say about drinking? Don't do to excess. Have a little wine for stomach's sake. Don't be a wine bibbler. Okay, there's all kinds of... Gambling is legal, but God. Same-sex marriage is mostly legal. Right? R-rated movies, they're legal, but God. Pornography is legal, but God. Taking God's name in vain is legal. They do it all over the television. You hear it everywhere, dishonoring him. Dishonoring mother and father is legal. Maybe you can just talk about your parents all you want to. Casting out the Ten Commandments from public places is legal. But God, sex outside of marriage is legal. Back in the day, back in the 1700s, they had concubines and all kinds of stuff. Matter of fact, we were talking in Bible study about man and a woman, period, and then they started having extra wives. Right? We were all supposed to just have one husband and one wife from the beginning of time. But it was legal. Kings can have as many women on the side as he wanted. It was legal. But what about the morality of God's heart? But here's the good news. Great is thy faithfulness. Because I remember a time when I was out in the world and I was... living, and I was a Christian, by the way. I was a baby Christian, so I knew a little bit of truth, but I was still doing my own thing. I was very carnal in my very beginnings of my walk with the Lord. And I would go out and carouse and drink and carry on, and the next morning I'd say, Lord, forgive me. I know that was wrong. Then the next night I'd go out and carouse and drink and do it again, and then, oh, Lord, I know I'm a sinner. And then I would go out, I did this over and over and over again. Until one day, I didn't do it anymore. One day, I met Tom. So I didn't have to do it anymore. But truthfully, I stopped doing it because God allowed, he kept being faithful. He kept being faithful. He kept being faithful because he knew one day I'd be standing here. He knew one day you'd be where you are today. That's why he's so faithful to us. And okay, here she goes again. Okay, here she goes again. And he kept on holding me and holding me. Reminds me of a tricycle. You know, we drive a tricycle, or actually a bicycle, and it's got the little training wheels on it. And your mom and dad, they're pushing you along, and they let you go, and you got the training wheels, and one day you got to take the training wheels off. Why? So that you can ride it yourself. Well, I believe God wants us to do the same thing. He wants to equip us and grow us up so that we can live life in our own conscience and in the way God has directed us, still having his hand under us, lifting off the hand of pushing us. Okay? He wants us to do it out of our own heart and will. And he gives us what we need to do that through his faithfulness. You know, it says that the kindness of God leads us to repentance. The kindness of God, his love and his mercy and his purpose for our life. So there's lots of things that are legal. Again, it's up to us to decide what we're going to do based on what's in our heart. We have a choice. Lamentations 3:22 says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness." Every morning. So every morning, I told you this a couple of weeks ago, I'm going to tell it to you again because I do it every morning. I sit in my little spot where I sit, and I'll say, "Lord, yesterday is dead and gone. Everything that happened, whether it was right, wrong, it was wonderful, it was bad, it's gone, it's dead, it's forgiven." I said, "Lord, okay, forgive me for that. Whatever I said, did, it's forgotten." I come into today brand new, fresh, as mercies are new today for me. I don't have to carry this old stuff because the Bible says that the evil for today is sufficient. There's enough stuff to deal with today than to try to drag in from yesterday or look for ahead to tomorrow. It's hard to do, isn't it? Because you got to think, okay, what am I going to do tomorrow? Okay, I have it on my calendar. In 3 weeks, I have to do this. And what am I going to do? You know, that's good. That's good. You have to have your vision board. All right? Have your vision board. But in that moment of time, faith is now what you need for today. That's all you have. Zephaniah 3:5. "He will do no injustice. Every morning he brings his just to light. He does not fail, but the unjust person knows no shame." He will do no injustice. Every morning he brings your justice, his justice, to light in your heart, if you're willing to look. We're talking about the study this morning. All these people, 900 years of not serving or wanting to walk with God, not even considering God. But then all of a sudden, Enoch says, I want to know God. He began to walk with God. He brought justice to light in his life. And I want to be that person. Now, I would like to be taken up in a whirlwind like some, like Ishmael. Not Ishmael.
Enoch.
Enoch and then the other guy.
Elijah.
Elijah, thank you. I knew he was in there somewhere. But like Hazel said, why didn't he take me now? Why didn't he just take me up too? God has his ways, you know. He kind of set it up like he set a precedence of our rapture and let him know, yeah, it can happen. It can happen. So, this passage, I think, is very interesting that God showed me. And again, I've been studying Matthew. Matthew 15:8-9, it says, "This people draws nigh to me with their mouth, honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching the doctrines and commandments of men." There's that man's law stuff that they're just, "Oh yeah, it's okay, you can do that. Oh, it's fine, you can do that." And they go to church, and yet they're living over here this way, and then they go and they serve God. He says, they worship me, that's right, but they're doing it in vain because their hearts are not in it. Their hearts are far from me because their hearts are over there in that area that I don't want them. You see, this is where it separates the goats from the sheep. And these are ministers and pastors, priests, all think they are serving God, but yet they're telling you, okay, you can't do this, you can't do that, you have to wear that, you can't eat that, you can't have that, and blah, blah, blah. All these rules and rudiments of, man, they think they're worshiping him. See how deceived people can be. And we hope that we search God out every day for ourselves to see if we're worshiping him in spirit and in truth. Various religions do this. You can probably name a couple yourself, but we are free. As Christians, when we know what we do is wrong and do it anyway, what do? We go to the cross. I knew it was wrong for me to keep going over, back into the bars. And matter of fact, I wouldn't just drink, I would get in fights. I don't know if you've ever would ever see me that way, but I would actually have bar fights constantly. Alcohol was not good to me. And so I was always very, very physical. But I am freed from all that. I mean, it sounds like a different person. Who is that? I went into a grocery store one time after I had become a Christian and really serving God and all that. And I had a roommate, and she saw how I was before I became a Christian, right? She ran into me in the grocery store and said, "Linda, are you still crazy?" Seriously, I was nutsos when I lived with her. I was all over the place. I had no foundation. When you don't have a foundation, people, you're going to be all over the board. But guess what? God is faithful. He knew one day, okay, here she goes again. He knew one day I'd be here. Or in ministry. I had been doing ministry for 20 years, traveling and helping people out of their issues. I came out of anxiety, stress, panic attacks, and phobias, and fear. That's a whole lot. I couldn't even leave my house. Drive over a bridge, drive a car, sit in the car in the passenger side. I'd have a panic attack. I'd have to be on all kinds of pills. I went through all that. I got free. It's been 20 years now. So that's what I teach people, how to be free from all that need, all that stress, all that fear. Praise God, He's using me still. So there are, like I said, other types of burdens. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and He will sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. You know, I have this little place I pray, and I have it on the wall. I don't know if you've seen it. It's a picture back there, Billy handing me the keys to the church. And I have it right in my little prayer closet. And I put my hand on the door, and I say, "The gates of hell shall not prevail." Every single day, that's what I pray. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Doesn't mean the gates of hell won't come in. Okay? Will not prevail and succeed in what it was sent to do. We have to stand on the truth. So, question is this. Why doesn't God stop us? Or why doesn't God make us do stuff? Why does He, you know, I know not to do it, I go do it anyway. Why doesn't He stop us? And I put on a couple of notes. Most of the time, I'd say 99.9% of the time, we know when we're not supposed to do it, but we justify it. Find a way to go, "Oh, it's okay because, you know, there's food there. Oh, it's okay because my family is there. Oh, it's okay." You see how we go into that. When we do something after we say, "I knew to do it. God warned me, but I ignored Him." We justify it. See, we have free will. God wants us to choose Him. Put before you life and death, choose. And on those choices that we make, then He works. He didn't want Sarah and Abraham to have a child out of wedlock, did He? Did he really want that? No, I don't think so. But He used it. Now there's a whole new nation. Of course, now we've got problems because of that nation, if you look at your history. When Joseph was thrown into a pit by his brothers, was that something God planned? No, but God used it and brought forth some great stuff out of that. Saved his family from starving. When Jonah ran from Nineveh, you know, did he want him to just go to Nineveh? Yeah, but no, Jonah had to go around the mountain. Same with the Israelites, had to wander around the wilderness. See, God uses where we are and our choices to work out His will in our lives. And that's where Romans 8:28, Greg's favorite verse, "He works all things for good to those who love Him, who are called according to His purpose." He works all things out for good. So when we see that we want to do something and you go and do it, what do you feel like afterwards? Feel guilty, don't you? Yeah. Don't you feel a little guilt? What are we supposed to do with that guilt? Now, guilt is not really a God thing. Conviction is a God thing, because in conviction you can actually... it's actually good for you to be convicted, then you can make a change. Guilt makes you feel awful, feel ashamed. You might even run away from that situation. We choose to not do that thing again. That's called renouncing. Okay, I did it. Okay, Lord, I know I did it, and I renounce it. And again, you do it again, and you renounce it again, and His faithfulness endures forever. But again, one day He's going to say, "Okay, enough is enough." And didn't He do that with a few people in the Bible? Enough is enough. I can't do any more with you. But praise God, He held on to me. It's like my mom when I was run, you know, living my world in the world, and I moved back home 10 times. One, I'd move out, and then move back home. Moved 10 times. After the third time, you'd think you'd be sick of me. She wasn't. She kept letting me in and letting me in and letting me in. It wasn't okay. One more time and you can't come back. No, she let me in. That was God's faithfulness to me. She was demonstrating God's faithfulness. It's forever. Because he knows later on I was going to come to him. Now he knows later on people are not going to want to come to him. That's why he says, okay, enough is enough. I believe he knows already what the people are going to choose. But praise God, he held on to me. Praise God. So sometimes we feel guilty when we say no. Have you ever felt guilty when you go, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go there. That's not right for me. But everybody else is doing it, and it's not right for me. Guilt plays a huge part in our lives. So when you feel guilty for doing something that is right. So I'm planning this party. There's 20 of us coming to this little birthday party. It's a group of women that I've known for 15, 20 years, and we do stuff together. So once in a while, we get together. Well, there's 5 birthdays in this group of women, and I'm taking care of a lot of the stuff at this birthday party. And then all of a sudden, somebody says to me, well, why don't you add 2 more ladies because they're moving and we need to do some tribute? And I go, no. I said, no, I can't do that. I don't want to do that. I felt guilty for saying no. And I felt more guilty because somebody else did it. I should have done it. See, we feel guilty for not doing enough when we are doing enough. It's not all about you doing everything. You know, one time I was doing some things and I was teaching somebody how to do something. Well, they're out doing it. And I go, well, God, how come you're out doing that? Well, you train them to do it. Why are you getting upset? Oh, okay. So see, we have to see how God is going to use those people that are around us that we are equipping to do the work of the ministry. So I was feeling guilty thinking, well, I should be doing that. No, let them do it. Let them do it. See, I'm still growing, you people. I'm still growing in things. I just equip people to do the work of the ministry. That's words said and done, but do we do it? Do we really release people into their giftings? So when we sin, what do? 1 John 1:9, we sin, we repent, and we confess our sins. Sometimes we have to say no, but then when that guilt comes, just say, Lord, forgive me for feeling guilty, because that's not from you. And I'm doing all that I know to do because according to you, not what man tells me to do, because man makes you feel guilty. So that's kind of what you have to gauge, you know, sit in a minute and say, Lord, is this you speaking? Is this my heart speaking? Or is this somebody else telling me something? And so when I'm in my little closet in the morning, I'll say, Lord, all this stuff, this decision making and all this life is in yesterday. I'm brand new today, Lord. Now what do you want me to do today? What a difference. I'm not carrying all that burden, all that guilt, all that stuff from yesterday. Get off the treadmill. I told somebody one time, and I do it a lot in ministry, we're spinning around in that hamster wheel. Do you know what I mean by spinning in the hamster wheel? You just can't get off. You just keep, mind keeps rolling. I'll say, why don't you take that hamster wheel and put it over here and literally step off. So I would have them step off with me in vision, because I use imagination a little bit, and step off. That thing is still spinning over here, but they're not. Some of you got to get off your hamster wheel. Just take it and set it over there. Let it spin. Woo, look at it go. You get your peace back. It's up to us. Conviction and guilt feels the same. Conviction and guilt feels the same. But conviction causes change. Guilt does not. You could turn it to conviction, but guilt comes with shame. I don't like that. So we have a choice. We have to repent when we see we're doing something not according to God's heart. We have a choice to praise God instead. God's whole design is to see what we're going to do with what we're going through. Tribulation comes to all. It's because God knows our heart and he needs to get our attention. He lets things happen. 1 Thessalonians 2:4 says, but as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which tries our hearts. We talked about it in study this morning. It's about our heart. Where is our heart? What's our choice? What will we do? Whatever we do, we're to do it all for God. When we go out of the house, like I said earlier, every person that leaves the house is on a missions trip. Are you thinking about, okay, I got a list of stuff to get. I got to get take care of this. I got to go here. I got to go there. I. When you leave the house, take I out of there. Take I out of there for just a moment. Yeah, take care of business, but also see what God is wanting you to do. It's a missions trip. Some, you have an appointment somewhere. Now, when I went on my trip with my sisters, I had an appointment, but I was looking around out there, okay, where's my appointment? And it was with my husband. I had an appointment with my husband. It was wonderful, and we took care of some stuff. So again, when I woke up in the middle of the night, of one of those middle of the night epiphanies, when these two songs came to my mind, Great Is Thy Faithfulness and On Calvary, those two songs were just so powerful to me. And this is a great appropriate time of season as well, because he's great. And then On Calvary, I mean, they come together. I just think that when he woke me up and said, well, actually, I had a dream. I'll close with this. I had a dream that I forgot my message. I was at home. And so I'm standing in front of everybody and I go, I don't have my message today, but God gave me two songs. And he told me, just speak on those two songs, Great Is Thy Faithfulness and On Calvary. And I go, oh, I could do that. So even though I might not have been completely prepared the way that God, or I think that I should have been, God had me prepared. Because, you know, when you don't have your notes, right, Butch? When you don't have your Bible or your notes, you're like, twiddling your thumb, what are you going to say? But God always comes through. He has never failed me yet. And I hope that when I'm sharing with you these truths that transform your life, that you take them to heart. And like Kelly, she took something and said, I'm going to go and do something now. I'm not going to just pray about it. I'm going to go and step out of my comfort zone. And she did. Now she's leaving us. So don't. Nobody else gets to leave, though, okay, when you get stepped out of your comfort zone. But you need to be equipped to do and carry on what God wants you to do and carry on with. So, Father, we thank you, Lord, for this presence, for your presence and your love. Thank you for your kindness, your goodness, your mercy. It brings us to repentance. Thank you for the truth that sets us free. Thank you for your faithfulness, for it's always there. Your hand is under us, it's above us, it's around us. Let us know that we will never leave your grip. You will always be with us. And on Calvary, Father, that Jesus came and died so that we can have life and life more abundantly. We thank you for that abundance, whatever that is. Help us to acknowledge this and help us to see that we are always on a mission. We're always in the mission field wherever we go. Let us always be mindful of others. And get ourselves off of our mind a little bit more. In Jesus' name. Amen.